And we're back.
Yes, right. Now, this particular session, of all the ones we're doing in this series of videos, in many ways, this is the most important of them all. So you really need to understand this stuff, because what we're talking about in this one is the application lifecycle, how apps run and how the system actually controls when they don't run.
Yeah, if we had our serious faces on, which we don't have, of course.
We don't do serious.
We'd be using them now. But no, if you want to make an application that works properly on the phone and you can sell in the marketplace, you have to make it perform like this. Otherwise, you can't get it past certification and it won't work properly. So apart from that, no biggie. But take it seriously. Follow it through. We're going to give you lots of tips and techniques to use to actually use what's there to make it all work. But do this. Do take this seriously.
So we're going to be covering how applications run in the Windows Phone environment, specifically focusing on the application lifecycle, the launch, when they exit, what you need to do, and more importantly, when the system exits your app and brings it back. Talking about the lifecycle events, and then also we're on top of the application lifecycle, we're talking about another aspect of it, which is retaining volatile page state using the local storage state object. So all things to do with application lifecycle. And what this is about is making sure that your user gets a good experience from your app and that you're actually going to maintain the illusion that it's running continuously, even though at times it is not.
And one thing worth mentioning is that we're going to have a Silverlight hat on for most of this content, but the same material in an XNA context is in the advanced XNA sessions right at the end of this course. So everything carries across, but there are some XNA things worth remembering as well. So that's in the XNA session as well. So we're going to have a Silverlight focus here, which is a fine way to do it.
Absolutely.
And then we're going to look at the XNA one later on in the course. Absolutely. Ish.
Yeah. So, of course, a mobile phone is a particularly aggressive environment, if you like, for an application to run in. There's a world of constant interruption. So the battery runs down, the lock screen comes up.
The user gets bored and presses start, wants to do something else.
They get a phone call. Let's remember, this is a phone, of course. Yeah. Reminders might come up, an SMS message comes in. So your application, although, you know, it might start off your user using it, halfway through, there's a good chance they're going to be diverted onto doing something else. But at some point, they're going to want to come back to your app and use it again.
And the users will expect your app to be as it was when they left it. Just like when you minimize something on your desktop, it comes back the same. Yeah. And we have to do all the work to make that appear to be the case.
An application can be interrupted at any time by one of these external events, by the user pressing the start button on the phone to go and run something else, or by some external event, something coming into the phone that demands their attention. Or they might decide suddenly, you know, they were using your ultimate Sudoku application or whatever it is, and then all of a sudden they want to use the camera, so they're going to take the phone and use the camera.
Sorry.
Exactly, so you can't actually predict what it's going to be, but one thing you can predict is there's going to be an awful lot of interruptions. So what does this look like from how the application runs? So here's the basic application lifecycle. So your phone, the application starts from obviously not running. So we turn the phone on, they may have just installed your app, they've never run it before, and this app is not running. So then you start the application and it goes into a launching state. So it runs your startup logic.
They've now pressed the button because they want to run your program.
Indeed. So we're launching your app, and up it comes, and then we get into a running state, and they use your application until such time as they close it again. And one way of doing that is hitting the back key while you're on the home screen of your app, the opening screen of your app. Hit the back key. That's effectively the close and exit button for a Windows Phone 7 application. And then you might run some closing logic, and it goes. Yep. So. You might be watching this thinking, yeah, right, big deal. This doesn't sound, you know, there's nothing unusual here.
The weird thing is that there's no guarantee that you will get closed. In real life, on a desktop PC, the user will close your program at some point and you get a chance to get control and tidy things up. In Windows Phone life, they might never do that. They might never press that back button at the top level. No. They might just press the start button, kill your program and go off and do something else.
Well, that's the point, so. Okay, so this is the user starts the application launching event. You get a launching event. And then press back from the opening page, you will get a closing event. These events, you can put event handlers in your app.xaml.cs or .vb soon.
Yep.
Your back, basically your code behind file for your app.xaml file. And these are the two sort of events that top and tail your application's life. But your application could get moved to the background, and the way that can happen. So the normal start, running, stopping thing, there's a big, big complication here. So while your app is running, the user can hit the start screen, or they can get a toast notification comes in, one of these little pop-up messages that comes in, and if they tap on that, that's going to launch the associated program. Or indeed the lock screen comes up because they haven't actually interacted with the phone for a minute or 3 minutes or whatever the timeout they've got on the lock screen. So at this point, your application is no longer visible to the user. It's moved to the background. So what happens to it when it's moved to the background? Well, actually, it's dead. It's killed. It is no more. It is an X app.
Yes. Monty Python lovers, please note.
Yes. There is an event you get when your app moves to the background. You get a deactivated event. And then the system kills you. You are terminated. So, okay. Right, then what happens? Now, let's think of a situation here. So, just the lock screen, for example. The lock screen has come up. When the lock screen has come up and your phone is locked, your app has been deactivated and the system has killed it. And then, of course, they swipe the lock screen, open the lock screen again, and as if by magic, your application appears again. It's activated. But you won't be surprised to know that, of course, that doesn't happen. That doesn't happen by magic, and you have to write some logic to handle these events. Now, why does the system do this? Now, of course, the overriding deliverable with Windows Phone is a great user experience. And a great user experience means two things, really. Well, a number of things, but two key important ones is that, A, the battery doesn't run down in no time at all, so you get good battery life. And secondly, that when people are using your app, they get good quality experience and it runs fast. And one way of guaranteeing that is to only allow one third-party app to run at any one time. And if the app isn't visible, it's killed. It's not going to be sitting there, with a few exceptions, using user resources. The exception is there is a call you can make, a system call you can make, to request that your application continues to run when the lock screen is up, for example.
That's very, very, very strong magic, which you should use for things like turn-by-turn navigation or stuff that really has to run, or radio players. And any other time, don't go there. There's all kinds of application certification issues that come along with that. So as far as we're concerned, it's best if you keep in your heads the fact that when you aren't there, you're dead, and that's it.
I don't want to think the lock screen has that oddity about it, but in any other case, any other app, if they press the start button and go and run something else, your app, you're dead. You're dead. The application's process is killed. Now, what you have to do on the deactivated event, in order to maintain this illusion that your application has continued running all the time and it's just been sitting there waiting for them to reactivate to pull the lock screen down again, and your app comes back to the front, you have to write some logic to save your application state when it's being deactivated. And then, when you get this activated event, you have to restore the state and get your app back to the same position it was in when it went away. So, at that point, the illusion is maintained. So, like I said, just to stress this, it's designed to give the users a fast, responsive experience. So only one third-party application can run in the foreground at any one time. And the system will kill your app in whichever way that they move away from it. The process that is going on is it's called tombstoning. So what happens is when the system kills your app, it does kill the process, but it does save some data. It saves a state dictionary where you can store sort of volatile data, and I'm going to show you how you do that. And it also saves your navigation stack, so it knows what page you are on. And when it comes back and when your app is reactivated, then it will restore you to that page that they were on. So if you've got a multi-page app, you go back to the exact page.
But actually, in XNA land, that doesn't tend to happen. I mentioned that. If XNA land, basically, when you get stopped, you get given the chance to save things, but the system saves nothing for you at all. Yeah. So Silverlight is a bit nicer in that it lets you remember the page you were on, whereas in XNA, nope, doesn't happen like that.
No. So let's just run through these life cycle events. The four I've mentioned already. So the application launching event, And these are all in your app.xaml, your app file. Application launching event is when the application is launched. So this is when they've gone to the start button and on the menu of apps.
You press start.
And then on
the program.
Yes, right. And they hit it in the main list of programs.
And run it.
Indeed. So then you get the launching event. So that's started when you're starting up from cold. And the other end of it, when they go back from the... if they hit the back key when they're on your home page of your application, then you'll get an application closing event. But that's the only time you get it. So, you know, as Rob said before, if you're in the middle of an app but then they hit the start key and go and run something else, at that point, at the point they hit start, your application is deactivated and the deactivated application deactivated event fires. And if they could then go on and run one app, they could go on and run another app, take a photo, take a phone call, run another app. But then as they start hitting the back key, it'll kind of unwind the navigation stack until such point as it gets back and finds on the navigation stack that the next one to go back to is your app again. And at that point, you get the application activated event will fire, and you have to write some logic to maintain the state and set it up as if they never went away.
It's hard to explain how start and back work together. The best way to learn it is just to use the phone. Because you go into things, you come out, you go into the next one, you come out, you go back to the previous one. It makes perfect sense for the user.
Yeah.
It's just that we have to manage the events to get our system back into place when we get that call to come back, which of course may never come.
No. So this is so important. I've just talked about it in words. I'm now going to do it in diagrams, but basically this is the same thing. So here we go. You're hitting the user hits the start button, the Windows button in the center there. And choose your app from the menu. You get the launching event fires, and you have the chance to put some logic in there to get your app going from cold. And then your app is in a running state. If the user hits the back key from that home page, then you get the closing event, the app is killed, and it's gone. There's no, you know, that is the proper closing way for, the only way to close an app. The other alternative, while the app is running, if you invoke a launcher or a chooser, which we're going to talk about in another session in more detail, or indeed the user presses the start button to launch a different app, then your app will get this deactivated event. And you get this tombstoning thing going on. So here we are, we're in the deactivated event. Your app is dead. It's been tombstoned. It's quite a kind of an unsettling simile, this, really. So,
because it becomes a zombie in a minute.
That's right. And then, so user then completes your chooser or launcher or navigates back from the other app to reach your app. And then it rises from the dead.
Right, yes.
Yes. So except it's got a kind of a blank expression behind its eyes. Yes. And there's this faint smell of putrefying
I got this SkyMail catalogue. Digression.
Okay.
And you can buy these things to put in your garden, and it said you could buy a life-size zombie model. Now, let's figure out what a life-size zombie model, what a life-size zombie is, because
indeed.
They're dead.
Yes.
So what a life-size one looks like, I have no idea, but what Andy says is a dead size. Right? Your application is revived and put back on its feet and sent off to run again.
Yep, so it's restored. Now, in actual fact, in terms of a process, if we want to talk about what processes are running, it is a new process of your app, but the system has restored the state, put you back on the same page. But obviously, it can't do everything. This is where you come in. You have to write some code. But your app is running again at the end of that. The other one is, while your app is tombstoned and is in this kind of stasis, this waiting for reactivation state, the user could press the start button and from the main menu could launch your application again. Now in that case, the guidelines say that actually you should present, whenever they start your app from the start menu, you should present your app anew. So in this case, you're not reactivating the old one. In fact, the history that it's kept, the putrefying corpse of your old one is blown away, and instead you get a whole new instance of the app, and you must present the user with the starting experience of your app, and you've got a whole new instance running.
That means if they've gone down a few menus in the app and then press start, when they go back and relaunch the application from the start menu, that menu position will have been discarded. They'll go back at the main screen.
Yep.
So if they're halfway through writing something and they do this, now there are one or two user interface issues here you have to worry about. because it's very unlikely the user will make a distinction between pressing start and using back. They're going to expect it to be the same either way. And this is also true in the game situation, where they'll want to resume the game they were playing, whether they press the start button and run it, or whether they get there via back. So you do have to do some fancy footwork here to kind of preserve the illusion that things are where the user expects them to be.
Yep. So here's an example of the sort of thing you want to have in your launching event handler. So this is the code to execute when your app is coming up for the first time. And typically, when you, we should have started with closing really, but it will go off and look into isolated storage and look for any persistent settings or any persistent data that has been stored from the previous time that they've run this application. So it will go off with the code that's shown here, goes off and goes into the isolated storage and sees if we've got a file in there. And if it finds a file in there that will have been saved there by your app on a previous run, it will want to read the data out. So it could be a history of previous things that you've done with the app, score list or whatever.
Remember that launching is like you would do with a brand new ship. This is actually happening, the user's starting your program from scratch. There will be a really brand new ship launched the very first time they run your app. In that situation, there won't be any persisted data, so your program must give the user the experience they get the first time. Enter your name, enter your shoe size, what kind of car do you want to have in this race game, what are your default units for your measurements, feet and inches, whatever. That all goes into persistent storage, and then next time your program is launched, it can go, let's go get my settings, all the stuff I need, and then away I go. But this happens when the program is launched and not when it's activated, which is a thing worth keeping
indeed.
In mind.
That's right. And on the closing, clearly you'd want to save any data that they've entered and save this away to isolated storage so that the next time they run it and we have the starting, you've got it and all the data that they've used in the app is restored. Now, there is a note there. Note you only have 10 seconds to save and exit. So if you've got a very complicated data model, you want to be a wee bit careful about this. So part of the guidance with this, if you look in the programmer guide in the documentation set, is quite possibly, if you've got a complex data set, you want to be saving data away to isolated storage while the app is running at appropriate points. And this is obviously the logic for this would be application specific. So if it's a lot of stuff, you don't want to save it right to the very end to save it away in isolated storage. Because if you take more than 10 seconds, the system will kill you anyway.
So if you have a multi-page app, say, When you move from one page to the next, start saving the data from the previous page. Don't save the whole thing in one big lump, because if you do that, you might not have enough time. And if you use threading, then you can make sure you have a background thread doing the saving, and the user really won't suffer. Because writing to these storage mechanisms is a bit slow. It takes a while for the chips to catch up, as it were. But that means that you can have a background thread doing it, taking its time, while the foreground thread gives the user a nice experience at the front.
Yep. As the slide says, the important thing to note is, of course, the closing event handler will not execute when the application is deactivated. And it's for this reason that actually the guidance also says that, in all honesty, you probably want to save your persistent data both in a deactivate and a closing event. So that the logic that's shown there on that slide, you probably want to have off in another method that you call both circumstances. So here's the deactivated one. So this is where they've hit the start button or they've got a phone call or the lock screen's come up, your app's been deactivated. It's in the process of being killed by the system. You need to save, you might persist some data, as it says there. The reason for that is once your app is deactivated and put into a tombstone state, you don't know for sure whether it's ever going to be reactivated again. So you shouldn't make any assumption about that. If they start a new instance of your app from the start menu, the old instance will not be reactivated. Also, there's not an infinite history stack. If they go off and run loads and loads and loads of different programs, eventually your system, your application state will disappear off the bottom of the stack and will be lost. So. But there's also this phone application service object, phoneapplicationservice.current.state, which is a string keyed dictionary. And you can store any objects in there. And this is where you want to store, this is not really for your persistent data, this is for anything that they were in the middle of doing, and this is really the working progress. And it's precisely this stuff that you, on the activated, that you want to then pull out of that phone application service, because this is part of the stuff that the system saves for you in the tombstone, is the location where they are, the page that you were on, and this phone application service dictionary. So the logic here, you can see this on this slide, is that you'll first of all, you'll go in there, have I got an object in this phone application service dictionary with a certain key? And if it have, then I know that this is stuff that was saved away when this app, this instance of this version of the app was previously tombstoned. So we want to pull it out, and then we can use it to rehydrate the live objects that the application is using.
Yeah, this stuff is stored actually in system memory, rather than being pushed out to a storage device. So it's very quick to get hold of.
Yep.
And that's why it's there, really. So you can really quickly get control, put things back how they were, and then carry on. But it goes away when your application goes away.
Indeed. So we've talked quite a lot about that. It's actually kind of almost easier to see. And so I'm going to go into a demo now to walk you through this, a simple application, so we can you can figure how this works. So this simple little app is a trip report. I'm going to run this on the emulator. It's got some logic in here already that saves data to isolated storage, and I'll show you what that is. So we can put in here a trip to Seattle. Where's that date gone? Oh, okay.
45th of October,
maybe,
would that be?
Maybe I'll leave that.
2006?
Yes.
Yeah. I think, yeah, data validation. Good
I plan. Think the data validation is a bit lucky on that one, yes.
Okay.
It's not important. Well, don't get hung up on that.
This is basically, we're going to have a bunch of stuff which the user would like to see on that form when they come back to it. Is this the point we're headed towards here?
Yep, that's right. So, here we've got a little simple data. I mean, there is a next. You can put a bit more data in there, and you can save it. You can save it, obviously, from that button. But also in this thing, just before I close it, I was going to look at the code behind this. You'll see that what this application does is it overrides the on-back key press here. So we override the on-back key. So we put up a message box here to ask, do you want to save it? So this knows that this is the home screen of the app. If you hit back on the home screen, we know that we're going to close. Actually, what I want to do, I want to bring
if
up...
If you use one of the built-in apps like Word in Office, then that has the same behavior in the Office hub. If you get to the document, press back, at the top level it goes, do you want to save this? You say yes or no. So what we've got here is the code that does that same job.
Yeah. So I'm going to hit the back key here. We get our message box up. You are exiting the application. Do you want to save your work? You say, yeah, okay, I want to do that. And there we go. And the output window, I have got some writing to debug so we can see what's going out. And then we can see that actually early on we had the application launching event in the tombstoning event. And then just then after we had the closing application closing event. And those event handlers are in app.xaml.cs. So whenever you create a Windows Phone app using the Visual Studio templates, it will already create you stubs for these events because they're so important. I mean, there is no application you write that will never have any code in these event handlers. If you do, you will fail the marketplace.
It'll be useless.
It will not,
but
it will
apart
not
from
be
that,
accepted.
It's perfectly possible apart from that, yes.
Actually, I could think of a level, you know, a simple app that's just, you know, a level using accelerometer or something.
I guess, yes, if your application
it's
stores
a one
nothing,
page and does
does
nothing,
no sums,
is totally useless.
One of these rude word or rude sound producers.
I'll back off.
We
that. In most cases, you will have to write a good deal of logic in these here, guys. So at the moment, we're just tracing what's happening. Now, of course, if we run the app again. Oh, by the way, this is, I just want to make the comment, this is a pretty useless travel report tool, actually, because it only has the capability of storing a single travel report.
Okay.
But that's, by the way, it's kept simple because we don't want to obscure the real message on here.
It's as if it was an example in a presentation, isn't it, really?
Yeah, that's right. Now, as you can see, now what you would expect, the user would expect, of course, is that the travel report that we saved before, travel to Seattle, should be there on the screen because what was the point of saving it to isolated storage if we weren't going to bring it back?
Absolutely.
So this is where we want to start writing some code. Okay. So here's the application launching event. We need to write some code in here. So just to refresh you what happened, in the message box here, the code called this save travel report method, which is in this utils class, which is included up in here, which saved the current data context. So what we've got, the data context of this app, is pointing at a travel report info object. So all the data binding on the fields and that is pointing at this travel report info. So what we're doing is we're taking that data context it is a travel report info object in actual fact, so we're interpreting it as travel report info. And then we're saving it, this actual save, easiest thing is to go to it. What it does is uses isolated storage stuff here to get the user store for the application, and then it creates a file of that file name and uses the XML serializer, which we didn't cover in the isolated storage, but this is how you can serialize more complex objects to XML for storing them inside a file in isolated storage. The logic that executes on that. So what we need to do is kind of do the converse of that. And actually, I'm going to nick a bit of code from that. Because I'm pragmatic.
The evil that is cut and paste will now actually leap into life.
Yeah.
But basically, what's going to happen is that's going to then make a nice little structured data XML file which contains all the stuff which describes the trip we're presently in the process of typing in. Is that correct?
It's going to restore it. That's right. Exactly.
Well, this will save it so we can restore it later. Is that right?
This is the launching. So it was saved. We're now going to get it out of isolated storage. We want to bring it back.
Fantastic. Sorry.
So. We first of all want to check that the file exists. So there's the isolated storage.file exists method, and the file name, just refresh my memory, was
info.dat.
Yeah, that guy. Really, what this should be is a constant in the application rather than cut and pasting. That's bad practice, but hey, this is not about good practice. This is about the message. So if that file exists,
put it on your tombstone.
Yes, indeed.
Coin phrase.
Then we need to get the stuff out of there, so we're going to have a using statement. And what we need to do is getting an isolated storage file stream, which is the, what is that? Is FS?
FS equals isf.openfile.
After open file, yep. And the
give
string
it the file
path,
name.
That guy again.
Yeah. Control V might do it.
Indeed it does. And then it's file mode.open.
Yep.
File.
It might be system.io.file mode if you haven't got the name.
I've got it, yeah.
Yep.
Dot open.
What a team.
Indeed. So that's going to open the file.
And then it's just deserialize time.
Yeah. So then we have an XML serializer, which we're going to call SER is equal to a new XML serializer, and we need to give it the type that we are actually going to travel, which is one of these travel report info objects. Oh, that's not right, is it? Type of.
Yeah, type won't work.
No. So there we are. We've created our serializer object, and then we're going to use it to deserialize the contents of this file. So we go equals ser dot deserialize.
The nice thing about this is it doesn't matter how big your object is, it all just gets pushed out. And as we shall see in a minute or two, just binding this to the control means everything lights back up again with the required data.
That's right. So
very sweet.
Yep. So now then, what we've got is
if we get a null back, it means it couldn't read it, so we have to make a new shiny one. Yes.
I just need a local storage here. I'm just going to assume we've got it back. It's equal to obj as travel report info. There we go. And that's that. We now have our object, so we can now set that back to the data context for this application, which is the source of our data binding. So root frame dot data context, is equal to our this object that we've just got out. So isn't code a bit more defensively in real life, and I need to. What's wrong with that?
I think you might want to make something null in case it doesn't work.
That's right. It wants us to initialize that up there. Yeah. I think. There we go. So that's how we obviously pull it out of isolated storage, and now on this, we can now run the app again. Put in trip to clan did know.
Use the
oh dear. When are they going to enable the? Yeah, clan did know.
Hull's easier to type, only takes four letters, but we'll gloss over that. You will live in these spaces with strange names. Justification, just write left.
Left. Okay.
Well, I thought that was quite funny, but I digress.
Yeah. So we've got some data in there, so we save it, and then we can actually just launch it from this guy as well. Oh, for goodness sake, it didn't work. So what happened here was that we, when we said OK, save, and it saved the data away to isolated storage, to a file in isolated storage. But then when we started the app back up again, there's no logic to pull it out of isolated storage. So we need to add that in. So all of these application lifecycle event handlers are here in your app.xaml.cs with C#. And any time you create a Windows Phone application using the templates in Visual Studio, it will already wire up these application launching, activated, deactivated events because they are crucially important. And you will always write, nearly always will be writing code to sit in these event handlers in pretty much every case, the state management stuff. So this application launching, what we want to do is just refresh your mind now. What we did here was we saved the travel report away using this this method save travel report, which is in this utils file, which is up in the project up here. I'll just let you see what's in that. Go to definition. And all it's doing is doing some usual, gets the isolated storage file, user store for application, and then it creates here with this line, creates a new file in isolated storage, and then it uses the XML serializer to serialize our travel report info object, and it serializes it away into the file. So this goes a little bit beyond what Rob was talking about in the isolated storage talk where we were storing strings. This is where we can use the XML serializer to store a more complex object. So we kind of want to do the inverse of that.
Reverse, bring it back. Yeah,
we need to bring it back. So up in our application launching, as you can see, we're dumping that to the debug output so we can trace what's going on. And I'm just going to drag this code in from the toolbox here. Move it across here a bit. And then just this is kind of the converse of what we did to save it. So again, we get a reference to the isolated storage user store. We see if that file exists. If the file does exist, we open it. And then again, we create another XML serializer here. And we use that to deserialize the file stream.
And the nice thing about this is, no matter how complicated that object is, that one line will save it.
Indeed. It's just, and then we get our travel report info object. And there's a bit of a bracket missing there. Then we need to actually set the data context of the app root frame dot data context, which is what is the binding, the root object that all our controls in the UI are binding against. We want to set that to our travel report info object that we've just pulled out. And of course, you can see the logic here. This is going to be a typical pattern. If there is no file, so if this returns false, if there's no file in isolated storage, then this must be the very first time you run this app after installing it from Marketplace. So in that case, we just create an empty travel report info object. And either way, we've either got the one we've got from isolated storage or a new instance, and then we set the data context to point of that. So that wires up our thing again. So we'll run this twice. So first of all, we need to save a trip report. I'm just going to fill in one field here, and I'm going to go. We've got a nice date in there as well, today's date. And then I'm going to back from here. We override the back key. We're going to save it to isolated storage. And then we're going to, well, I'll just run it from here, actually. And you can see there that code has run, and the same data has come back. So this, like I said, is a pretty useless travel report because it actually only ever works for one travel report. Mm. But it's kept simple to keep, so we can just concentrate on the logic that you need to implement for this kind of thing. In a real app, you'd probably have a history of travel reports and some kind of, but that's irrelevant to what we're talking about.
Just make the object bigger, and you can just store more stuff in there.
Indeed, yes. Okay, so here's our app, and let's talk about the other way. There's tombstoning now. So here we go. So the user hits the start button, and then we go off and, okay, let's go down to settings or something like that, and we do stuff, and then they go back, and they go back. Now, at the moment, Visual Studio's not running. Let me do that again, because I wanted to just bring something to your attention that I forgot about. So here's our app. So we hit the we're running within Visual Studio, and see at the top there, application lifecycle running. So we're running. Now this is a difference from the beta version of the tool. So at this point, I'm going to hit the start key. And at this point, the system has killed our app. It's been tombstoned. In the beta, actually Visual Studio would stop at this point, but it doesn't anymore with the RTM version of the tools. It's still running in Visual Studio.
Visual Studio thinks the program's still running inside the emulator, but actually it's been killed by the system. So what that means is that when Andy restarts it, as he will in a minute...
Yeah, but I'm going off to settings,
he's going to play around, he wants to wander through the system.
Yeah, but now at this point, I wonder, actually, it was kind of better in the beta in a way that it would kill it, and then it was more obvious to you that actually your app is running, because it gives the illusion to the developer that the app is still running in the background. It totally is not.
No.
It's dead. It's finished. Now, if we go back now, what is the user's perception? What would the user expect to see? Of course, they'd expect to see that Seattle report up again. But, of course, we'll go back. It will be reactivated. Our app will start again. You see the resuming. But the data's
totally
gone.
Empty.
The data's gone.
That's really sad, and I think I know why.
So, and now I want to make a distinction now between the persistent data, the logic that we've implemented, to save our permanent saved records away into isolated storage, and one that we're kind of in the process of using. So, a new one. We're going to Rob's hometown, to Hull. So this one, we haven't hit the back key, so it's not been saved to isolated storage, okay? But it's the one that we're in the middle of doing. It's kind of volatile data, if you like. App's been tombstoned. Do something else. User hits the back key, comes back to it. And, of course, the hole isn't there, but nor has it been saved. We haven't done the back key stuff, so it's not been saved to isolated storage by the overriding of the back key or by logic we might put in the application closing event handler. So this is the next aspect of application lifecycle. We need to store this kind of work in progress stuff.
Yeah, so if you're halfway through doing something,
yep.
You have to find a way of storing it one way. But if you want to save a whole lot so that next time you run it, it's still there, then that's the second mechanism.
Yeah. Yep. Ignore that programming error. It's totally irrelevant to the purpose of this talk. It's just demo code. So... So on the tombstoning, it's bookended by these two other events. So first of all, let's look at the deactivating one. So the deactivating one runs when your app is about to be tombstoned. So let's drag some logic in for that. So this is where we can use this phone application service object. This is this object that stays in memory in the phone. It's not persistent. It's not being written to the flash storage, but this is a dictionary for storing this. If exactly this, the
work in progress. Yeah.
And we just simply you get a reference to it with phone application service dot current dot state. Gives you a reference to that state object, and we can add a key to it. And you give it a string key, unsaved travel report info in this case, and then any object goes to it. And you can put any object. And in this case, yet again, we're pulling out from the data context, which is a reference to where we've stored our current live travel report info data object, our model. So we're saving that away into the dictionary. And of course, when we activate again, and remember this may never happen, but in an ideal world...
The user will like to have the information there if it does.
Yeah.
I mean, what we're doing here is like an insurance policy. You might not have to use this data because they might decide they don't want to do a travel report ever.
Yeah.
But if they do come back with the back button, you want the information to appear as though by magic.
Yep. So this is a typical kind of logic. Obviously, we just create a variable here to store our results if we have any. And then we go and look in that state object, which the system has returned to us on reactivation. And have we got a key in there with the key that we're looking for? If we have, then we pull it out. So we just, and this is an object, string object dictionary. So we get that object out and cast it to be a travel report info. And then good practice then to just remove it from the state object so that there's no risk of complications later. Although, if your application is closed properly, this state object is blown away with it. It's not. It's only for this tombstoning situation. So that logic now in the activation, we'll get it out of the isolated storage and we get the object, the travel report info, and reset it back to point back at the root frame.data context. So our volatile data will be restored.
So you've closed both halves. We're saving it and we're bringing it back. Yeah.
So we'll give that a go. Get the emulator up here. And we're going to go to go to Rob's hometown again.
Hull,
yeah.
I've been there.
Yeah. And then we're going to hit the start button, go off and do some other stuff, da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da. We've been tombstoned, we're coming back, and I'm just going to get the output window up just to prove to the point. We have got a deactivated event up there.
Yep, there it is, yeah.
And then we're going to go back.
Back to Hull.
It will be reactivated. You'll see the messages. There we go. Application activated, navigated to main page, and the volatile data has been restored.
And we're back in Hull.
And so this is part of maintaining the illusion to the user that it never went away, but it has. It's been away. You can see that from the events in the output window there. Now, there's one subtle and additional thing that we can do in order to make this the best possible experience for the user, and it's this. So if we set focus on a field like that, you might even want it to go to the lengths of you know, if you've got a long list, you maintain getting the position you are in a list, in a list box or something like that. So when the screen comes back, you want the user to be in exactly the same position they were in before.
Yeah, I expect that.
So we can show that kind of behavior on this. We've currently got the last day field there as being the focused field. So now, of course, if we tombstone and come back, the data's there, but we're not in the same place. The focus has gone. Or, I mean, it's a fairly trivial example in this one, but you can imagine if you've got a long list box or something, it would be kind of annoying if they ended up back at the top of the list.
Yeah.
So this is another thing we can do that's not associated with these main application lifecycle events. So the way we can do that is kill this. Okay. So there's two events in the page that we can override that are really useful for saving and restoring the page state. So these are the on-navigated from and on-navigated to. So the current page that you're on, at the moment of tombstoning, the on-navigated from event will fire. It will also fire this event when you actually navigate from this page using the navigation service to another page. So you have to be a wee bit careful. But for our purposes, there is a page state object as well, similar to the application state, which again is in RAM, which is another thing.
That's a per page basis thing, is it?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So, and this is the current page. So what I'm going to do is save in our page state object the current focused object. So let's just drop this down. So
whenever you leave this page, it'll remember where the cursor was at the time you left.
This particular logic here. So we ask the focus manager, get the focused element. If we've got a focused element, then we get the name of that element.
And then stuff
it into the page state object, which is similar to the application, the phone application service, but on a page scope.
Yeah.
And then the reverse of that, obviously, after tombstoning, the system will reactivate your app. It will rebuild the page that you were currently on. And it will then fire the on-navigated to event handler. So we want to go and look in that state object to find out if we've got anything there. And again, the same is true. This fires when you navigate to this page in normal circumstances. If you've come from navigated from a different page. But in that case, there will be nothing in the state object.
No, because it won't have been saved when you were leaving.
The state object is entirely to do with tombstoning. So here we go. We look for, in the state, have we got a focused element. Then there's a little bit more. We get the focused element out. And then what I want to do is, the focused element is a field that's already created up here. It's a private control. I put it in the field here because there's a subtlety just to do with this particular application, which in the constructor I've got a layout updated event, because the layout updated event, as you can imagine, fires every time the layout updates.
Yeah. The clue is in the name.
And it will fire. The point is, if I try and set the focused element down here, so you could just say focused element dot focus.
Yeah.
It doesn't work because when the unnavigated to event fires, it's too early in the page's life. It hasn't been fully built yet.
Yeah.
So we have to kind of delay setting the focus until it has. And the way to do that is just store it in a field in the form in the page here. Form, God.
You're old.
Yes.
Your
in there.
Yes.
And then the first time that the layout updated event fires, which does happen when the page has been fully built, we go and look. If we've got a value in that field, then we call
use it and clear
then
it.
We focus it and clear it. So this should be the final touch in getting a really, really great experience for our users.
The sad thing about these things is that you get it like this and the user doesn't say anything because they just expect it to be like that.
Well, and if you're doing the job well, they'll not notice all
Absolutely.
The good work that you've done.
It's really, they only ever ring up yeah. and say it's not working how it should. They never say that's a nice piece of design.
No. So with Tombstone, we come back, resuming,
and
the
are.
Focus is there.
Yeah.
So they really have come back to exactly how they left it. So this is the perfect situation that you want to aim at getting to. Cool. So, we'll just wrap up with the slides here. So that was the demo. Now, there are some things you need to be aware of in all this logic. You have to be careful because if you look at the application guidelines for marketplace certification, there are limits. The system will only allow you 10 seconds for your startup logic until the page is on navigated to event. So you've got the application app.xaml launching event handler. You've got the constructor of your app. You've got the application launching event handler. You've then got your page constructor and the initialized component stuff where it goes off and builds visual tree. And then you get the on navigated to event will fire. And you've got 10 seconds to do all of that. Otherwise, the system will kill you. So there's various tricks you need to employ. Similar 10 seconds on exit if you're saving your state away. And again, these limits also apply to tombstoning. So you've got 10 seconds to execute any of this logic. So don't put any real heavy-duty stuff in there.
And never put anything which talks to the user because that's just never going to end well.
No. And there are little tricks you can do. For example, I mean, if you are using an XML serializer and you've got a large object serialized away in isolated storage, you don't have to, as we've shown in this app, we're just serializing and deserializing, you know, in real time and synchronously. You can actually put all that, you may be able to put all that onto a background thread.
Fire off a thread and put a progress bar up.
Yep.
The progress bar comes up and starts to grow.
But the point is, it means you won't be holding up the event handlers, so the system won't kill you.
And we've seen retaining page state.
Yep. So this was the page state bit that I showed you there with the focus.
Yep.
The key, just to reiterate that, the user should see the page exactly as it was. So the example given there is the contents of the text box, the focus, current focus control, the scroll position of a scroll viewer, these kind of things. So use the state property of the phone application page class to do that.
And you've seen the demo.
And you've seen that already.
So by magic.
Yes. This lab, Application Lifetime, takes you through all of these things, and it is based on this application. So this is the one you want to go off to. You can get it on Channel 9 or download it from the Windows Phone developer website. Go off and get it and run through all this, and make sure you do it until you understand it. It's crucially important.
Yep.
So just a quick review on this. We're going to run through some questions here. This is just a review. This is just statements.
Andy reckons these are so important that we basically say everything here is true and everything here you must know.
Yeah,
so
indeed.
There's no
true
games.
False on this. These are all true. The system will only run one third-party app at a time. So obviously, clearly, the Zune music player will still be running and stuff like that. But the system does terminate apps that go into the background Actually, with one exception, which I'm going to come on to in the next one, which is launchers and choosers, not always, so make sure you watch that. There is an, as always, there's an exception.
There's always an exception to every rule.
But in general, you must build your apps to, you are going to be terminated. And the deactivated event fires when you're tombstoned, and the activated event fires when you come back. But don't assume, once you're deactivated, you cannot assume that you will ever be reactivated. You know, you could take the battery out, they could go to the start menu and start a new instance of your app, so just remember that. And the closed event, the closing event, will only fire when your user hits the back key on the first screen.
That's true for games as well, by the way. If you have a game, a requirement for marketplace is the very top level screen, press back, and your program must end. So keep that in mind.
And that's it. So that's application lifecycle management. Thanks very much.
Thank you.